Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm here with Hannah Cranston from YouTube's Think Tank, and we're answering your questions so you can have the best sex and relationships possible. Topics include what to do when you don't like cuddling, what you don't know about blowjobs and STDs, how to improve a long-term sex life that's gone stale, and tips for a virgin's first time. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can easily subscribe to the podcast. I love when you subscribe and you can also review me on iTunes. I'd so appreciate your reviews. And we work hard here to give you really great shows, useful, insightful, new information. And, I'd love a 5-star, but, do what you will. I appreciate it. And also follow us on social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. And then what else do I want to tell you? I want you to go to sexwithemily.com/podcast and you can see our entire show archive, summary notes, all the stuff we talk about in today's show. Will be really easy for you to follow along because you guys often email me like, what was that thing you said? Or what was that toy you mentioned? Or that article? It'll all be up there. And also subscribe to my weekly newsletter so you can stay in the know in all things sex and relationships. Also, you guys, just so you know, week left of Masturbation Month, and you still have some time, you guys. You have until May 31st to email me your favorite masturbation routine. Do you have a special ritual, a toy that you just love? Do you have like a music or a scent or like something that really turns you on? Like, what do you do when you masturbate? Because we want to learn, we want to know. And if you submit that to me to feedback@sexwithelmy.com, if you're over 18 and you can submit it before midnight on May 31st, you can win a masturbation month prize. We'll be selecting winners. And my trusty team here at Sex with Emily will pick one, four actually. You're going to get some very pleasurable packages, as I'm sure you can imagine. So, okay, thanks everyone for joining me. I have a special guest here today, the beautiful and smart Hannah Cranston. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you?
So fun. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm good.
I'm so excited to be here.
I know, it's super fun. Okay, so Hannah, if you don't know who Hannah is, which I can't imagine, she's the host and executive producer of YouTube's Think Tank and a regular guest host on The Young Turks. Contributor to Huffington Post, Pop Sugar. What else? What don't you do, Hannah?
I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I think this is my first in-studio podcast.
Really?
I've done podcasts over the phone, but this is my first in-studio.
Oh my God, this is so fun. Welcome to my studio.
Thank you. It is beautiful in here, guys.
Thank you. You have to see this.
Are there like pictures? You have pictures up on your social media?
Not yet. Well, we do a lot of snaps during the show and we do them after the show also on Instagram and all that stuff. But we... No, you know what's so funny? Okay, so in my mind, we moved here about a year ago, but it took us a while. It was a white box and there was nothing here. So I feel like the outer area we've done, but this part, I still feel like it needs work, but I'm glad you know how it is. It's so close to my heart.
Yeah,
I know. I feel like I'm glad you like it.
It's
I like
beautiful.
It too.
Good vibes.
So thank you. It is good vibes, right? That's what I want.
Good vibes.
Good energy, good vibes. I'm glad you're here. And I loved being on your show. It was for Valentine's Day on your YouTube channel, which is crazy, like a bazillion downloads.
Yeah, you did so well. There were so many views because you had so much great information to share.
Thank you. We have to get you
back on the show.
I know. I would love to do that. And it was the Valentine's Day show and we talked about what to do, what not to do, toys and stuff like that. And that was a good time. So I will come back. And you can follow her also, Hannah Cranston. C-R-A-N, oh, I should spell it because Hannah can spell like 16 ways.
That's true.
H-A-N-N-A-H-C-R-A-N-S-T-O-N for Twitter and Instagram. Hannah Cranston, host for Facebook. This is all going to be on our website. So, okay, what the hell is going on with you? What's the latest?
Yeah, the latest is obviously doing Think Tank. And you guys can check that out at youtube.com/thinktank where we talk about basically whatever is going on in the news. Recently, some current events in the political sphere. And then I've been doing some fun Facebook videos for the Young Turks that really kind of delve into some more issues. Like today I covered mandatory minimums, but I've also been looking at like sanctuary cities and what really these terms mean and how people can like learn more about what is being talked about in the media.
Well, I love that you do it in such a fun way too, because you're really fun to watch. You're smart, charismatic, and it's like, there's so much going on now with politics, for better or for worse. I know it's mostly worse, but you make it very digestible for people. If they haven't been following, like, just go check out Hannah and she'll tell you about it. And then she's like fun to watch and smart. So it's good.
Emily.
Yeah, I mean it. Yeah. I'm just like watch. I was laughing out loud. Yeah, I do that. So I laugh with you. So that's cool. So I want you to check that out. And I want to talk to you about, there's so many things. But, well, first of all, when I saw you last... You had just started dating someone, right?
Mm-hmm. I am seeing someone, the same guy.
Okay.
Now.
Got it. Good. Because I wanted to talk to you about some, so like your generation, so millennials, you're a millennial. I'm not a millennial. But I feel like this is this generation that everybody, we're spending more dollars than we ever have, I think, studying your generation for everything from like shopping habits to you know, political views, but also a lot on sex and dating.
Yeah.
And relationships.
Yeah.
Everyone's like fascinated about how you guys, it's just so much more visible now because of all the apps and all that, or you guys are, I don't even know what it is, but there's an obsession with the fact that like, you know, that you guys they're saying, you know, you people not having relationships, you know, jumping right into sex, not even caring about relationships, but it's about sex or it's about, I don't know, like that relationships are like obsolete, not for you. But what's going on?
Yeah, so it's really
interesting. Why are we all obsessed?
We're a great generation obsessed with about. But I think it's really interesting because the thing is like we're actually having sex with fewer partners than generations prior. So I think it's sort of conflated, I guess, in the media with the fact that we don't have as much stigmas around sex. So because we are a lot more open about sex and there's not all of these like sort of barriers and like confines trying to hold us in, and, you know, women are allowed to be more free with sex and things like that now than they were. I think that's where people get the idea that we're like just like sleeping around. But in fact, like we have fewer sexual partners than our parents' generation, right. Which is really interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I find that really interesting because that is what's come out. It's not that you're sleeping around. You might even just be, you know, maybe going on a lot of different dates or dating sites, but not necessarily like having sex, because it's, you're right, it's been around, or you have a lot of information about it. Is that what you think it is? You're like, yeah, I could have sex at any time, but I'm kind of focused on my career, or I'm focused on my friendships. Like, why do you think that that's not as much of a thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, for our generation, I think part of it is because more of us are going to school. So I think we're putting off that. And I think there is the internet, right? And so you're not as, like, you don't have to be as curious physically, because you can sort of look at some of the information online. And now we have better, like, comprehensive sex education, which shows that, like, people actually sort of delay sex anyway. Right. So I think those are some of the reasons that we're.
How was your sex education? Like, how did that look?
Well, I went to a relatively liberal West Los Angeles private school. So my sex education was, like, very thorough, very comprehensive. Very sort of like pro-choice, all of that, which was great because I went to an all-girls school. Right. So it was, I think I had a great sex education. Plus, I had like really open parents. So whenever I had a question or anything like that, I would just sort of ask them, and they were always.
Do you remember like your first question to them?
I believe, so this is actually a very funny story. I will share it. So I was at a friend's house when I was like in second grade. And we came across her dad's like dirty magazine, his dad's porno magazine back when there were magazines. Right. And we were looking through it, and she explained to me, she said, I think my dad has this because he never sees my mom naked. And that like was like, I have a very naked household. So that to me like made no sense.
California, man.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it made no sense to me. And so I explained it to my mom when I got home. She's like, well, honey, they have three children, so that's not the case. And then she sort of explained sex to me, you know, at a very young age. But I think because she was just so open with it and didn't try to like lie to me or like tell me some euphemism or anything like that.
Right.
I always just had a very open relationship with her. Yeah, it was super healthy.
I love it. That is funny. Yeah. She's like, you never get to see my mom. That's the kid's mind. I love that. The way of like thinking about it, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. And I love that. That is kind of a good attitude, though, for parents. It's like... And I'm going to be doing a lot more about this because one of my obsessions really is about educating young people around sex, and especially young girls, because we're not told anything. I mean, I was told nothing. So even my parents, they were open. They were like, if you have questions, you can come talk to me. So I always felt I was open, but I feel like the big thing was I didn't even know what to ask until there was like a problem, meaning that my friends were like, you haven't had an orgasm yet. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, it didn't even occur to me to masturbate. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, I should try this. It just didn't come across in my head. So... yeah, that's what happened to me. Masturbation. Now I realize, whoa, what the hell was I missing? And we are going to go shopping in the sex toy closet after, just so you know. All right. So I was watching your videos on YouTube because they're so fun. And I literally was like, an hour, I was like laughing, like, what are you doing? I'm like, she's so funny. But you did the one about five. So it is a lot of political. It's technology. You do a lot of stuff. But you also talk about sex and dating. Mm-hmm. And you talked about five things guys do that girls hate.
Yeah, we had to really shorten that list down.
Exactly, right? Well, we can talk about what's missing from this list. And I think I kind of agree. I think this is really funny. So one of them was guys who are like, I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. I swear to God, I'm a good guy. It's
if
like
you have to say you're a good guy, you are not a good guy.
Right?
Yeah.
If you feel like you got to lead with that, like there's something wrong. People are like, I'm really funny. I'm really funny. Don't you think I'm funny? Same thing.
No, it's the same thing with, you know, certain leaders of the free world who are constantly talking about how much money they have and how great everybody is. Like, if you really have to overcompensate that much, there might be something underneath the surface there.
Exactly. And even on dating profiles and stuff, when guys are like, I'm a really good guy. And, you know, it just like, there's so many, but well, we're going to get in dating apps soon, but I feel like that's like a buzz thing, right? Like, if you say you're a good guy, and what else do guys do on the app?
My favorite thing is guys who will write like on dating apps and thing like, I'm a great guy, so like, don't be a whiny bitch or something like that. And right. It's just like, whoa, that's a little ironic there.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna, the guys who like diss women, right? Like, don't, yeah, exactly. And what's this whole My friend's really upset right now because he says on all the apps, speaking of things that guys do, he's upset because all these girls are going like, no hookups. I don't want to just hook up. People feel like they have to say that in their apps. And he's like, well, if they say they're not going to hook up, they probably will hook up. I don't know. I'm like, that's douchey, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it depends on the app because I think different apps have different sort of reputations. And so I think if there's like an app that you're on that may have more of a hookup reputation and you are looking for something that's more serious, you don't want to be constantly bombarded
with
yeah, like. Yeah,
that's what I think too. But the fact that he was like, I doubt that women, just like a lot of men, yeah, don't say things like that. But don't, yeah, at least he wasn't saying it on his app. Okay, so also putting other women down to lift up his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, if you talk about another woman poorly, I think that is sort of like, especially if you're talking about like aesthetics or anything like that, I think that's an indication of your respect for women in general. Just like how you like look at a guy and how he treats your mom because that's how he's going to treat you. I think it's the same sort of thing. If you're looking at a guy who's critiquing a woman's appearance so harshly and negatively
and specifically
and
too.
Specifically, yeah, like I think that's how they probably, that's the lens that they're looking at you with, and I don't think that is conducive to a positive relationship.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I think that's something to watch for women. It's funny because my mom, she didn't give me a ton of advice, but what she said was look at how he treats his mother and that's how he's gonna treat you. Did your mom tell you that?
Yeah,
too?
100%.
Yeah, she said that, and so I was like, huh. And it's really interesting, like when I'm out with someone, he's like, yeah, my mom saw it, or my sister, I don't really talk to her, I'm like, dude, red flag. Mm-hmm. But then if he's like, you know what I don't like here, and this is like, I think this is kind of an LA thing, or maybe guys are just more vocal about it here and they didn't do it in other places, but when they're like, she's an 8, she's a 9, she's 10, like guys who rank, nope. I know you guys are gonna do that with each other, but I don't want to hear it. And so do you hear,
I don't want a guy to think about any woman in terms of a number,
exactly,
or a letter, or none of it. I don't want any of that.
Right. It's true. And also, I want to say to a lot of women, because I've had a lot of friends who've gone through this, and it is a form of being like psychologically abusive. If you're mm-hmm. the guy who is criticizing your appearance or telling you that you dress differently or do something differently, or like, you know, your skin's messed up, or they're pointing things out to you, I just think that that is just a really bad sign to be in a relationship like that, where there's this huge focus. You know, women, we all can get concerned about it. We have our own insecurities, right? And we're trying to move, you know, it's not just about our looks. We're trying to, you know, we do our best to move through things and stay positive. So you're the guy that's making you feel bad about this stuff in any way, I think you got to get out.
Yeah, it's not I agree. No, you're
I think
too
we don't even realize it. Sometimes it's sort of this insidious, you know, they're dropping these things and like years go by and they're like just shells of their former selves. So I think if women, if you're in a relationship and that sounds right to you right now, I just did you a favor.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another one of my favorite ones. All my exes are crazy.
Yeah, there's a common denominator there, bro.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You are the common denominator. I feel like I can't meet a guy who does. I feel like every guy says, "Yo, she was crazy." Like they don't even realize. It's like almost like, well, if she's my ex, therefore she's crazy. It's no.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a real big issue because like crazy is one of those terms that I think guys just sort of ascribe to women willy nilly because you don't often hear like, oh, my ex-boyfriend was crazy, unless he was like legit a stalker.
Right.
But guys can just sort of apply crazy or bitch to women so willy-nilly. And obviously, like there's so many detrimental effects of that in the way that it is, I guess the way that it sort of describes and disregards, you know, in the entire like mental illness community and things like that. Yeah. Like it's just like a sick term that guys just sort of use to delegitimize women and whatever their needs might have been or whatever their issues might have been in a relationship. Like it's effed up.
Totally. And I think that if you guys are using that as your default, I think that you should stop and look inside because there's takes two in every relationship and you had a part in that, in the demise of it. Like there was something that you did and she did and just didn't work together, but it's not because she was crazy. We don't believe you. And in fact, now you look crazy.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, I think guys who talk a lot of shit about their ex-girlfriends in general, I'm not into. Like, I think if you are such a person who can have like a loving and romantic relationship and then something, you know, goes awry and then you can turn around and say nasty things about them, that's not somebody who right. I want to be involved with.
Absolutely. And same with women. Women do it too.
Yes,
like you go on the first date
true.
And you're like talking about your crazy ex or whatever you say. Like he was an asshole. He was a jerk. Like I just think, especially first dates or first when you start dating someone, like no need to like dredge up the past. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you wish was on this list that wasn't? Anything come up? I'm trying to think guys do that girls hate so strong. There's so many.
I know.
I'm trying to think.
Like
okay.
One.
I don't like when guys say, well, okay, this is a personal thing, but when they pretend that they're not, I think there's this whole like casual playing it cool thing. So how about like this when guys are like, oh, I didn't check you out on Facebook or I didn't listen to, I have this whole thing where they like, oh, you have a podcast? I didn't listen to it. But then they say things where I know that they listened or they have done a deep dive maybe, but they pretend they don't know anything or they don't care? Does this happen to you if you...
Yeah. So I've definitely had people who've like revealed later on that they like checked out my YouTube or checked out my social media, but tried to play it cool. Like, just be honest with what you're doing. And I think that goes across the board, like from the outset, like be honest if you've like snooped somebody, but also be honest, like if you're into somebody. Guys try to play it cool, like right off the bat, be like, oh, I'm not really that interested.
Can we talk about that's like the game playing?
Yeah. I'm not a game player at all. And that really just like rubs me the wrong way. Like the second I feel like you're starting to play games, like adios.
Exactly. Do you feel like, okay, so I'm sure, are your friends single, dating, kind of everything across the board?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you talk to your girlfriends
about
it.
Good little mix.
Yeah. So I feel like there's this whole because everything is texting now, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like there's this whole, even this is just the basic games, but don't double text. Mm-hmm. Wait as long. Have you heard of the wait?
Yeah, you have to wait longer. No double texting. I heard one when I was dating last year that you shouldn't have a date, like especially in the beginning, on Fridays or Saturdays, because those are like prime nights and you're going to indicate that you're too into the person or whatever. So dates have to be on Sunday nights or Tuesday nights.
Right. No one wants to go on Sunday.
I work. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not having a date with you on a Sunday night.
Exactly.
Like, you can meet me on the weekend when I have free time. Thank you very much.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. So I feel like, I just feel like it's, I mean, there's games have been around since the beginning of time, but I think that if you're with someone, you're just honest and you're yourself and you're with somebody and, you know, I think it just saves you a lot of time. I think mm-hmm. it makes us crazy. All these like, and also with texting, no one's really talking. So then there's all the stuff that's happening that we're not even understanding what the other person's saying. And we jump to conclusions. So, yeah. And they're not always helpful. I've done a lot about talking about dating apps in the show mm-hmm. because I kind of feel like you can't go anywhere without people bringing them up. If you're single, no matter what, if you've been in a relationship for a while and you've just broken up with someone, you're like, what the hell is going on? I don't know how to use these apps. If you've been married and maybe divorced, I have people who are like in their 40s, 30s, 20s, like 50s, everyone's using apps. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this interesting piece came out that talks about it, but it also gets into like relationships around sex and communication, all that stuff. So I wanted to talk to you about this. So this is our Sex in the News. It's how dating apps have changed modern relationships. So sometimes it's hard to remember how single people met each other before dating apps like Tinder. Did we just go out to bars, just bang our friends, and we accidentally lingered too long at the house party? That made me laugh because I'm like, yeah, that actually used to happen. I mean, I try to think back to, you know, I'm just starting doing the dating apps. So I think back to it, like it was all friends' parties. If you went to a party, you were committed to that. You were at that party for the night. You'd meet your friends, friends of friends. And way a lot of the apps do that because they show you your mutual friends and stuff. So that's one reason why it's changed, though, because we go to a party, you might hook up at somebody. But now we're a lot of us are swiping and we're on apps. So this says like the trend is we aren't really looking to date per se. So asking for a little help finding a partner is hardly new. Where would Patty Stanger of the Millionaire Matchmaker fame be if we didn't need expert advice? And I think this is interesting. What Tinder changed, racking up 1.4 billion swipes a day, more than any other platform, like literally any other platform, was that it never actually said it was a dating app. So that's really smart marketing. It's like right. It killed the stigma of online dating, but not being about online dating. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, I think that's really interesting, right? Because like for our parents' generation, like online dating is like such like if you don't have any other options, you've right. exhausted all of your
she
options.
Had to go and, online.
Yeah, exactly. And so Tinder was that first sort of like, oh, I can just look at other people, and it made it so much more simple and you didn't have to fill out like the online form and all of that kind of stuff. And so I think in a way, it sort of like circumvented all of that stigma. Now I think it has its own stigma with the whole hookup culture and the whole hookup aspect of it. But I do think that this is, you know, spot on that it was able to sort of like destigmatize sort of online dating apps by just like simplifying it.
It's like simple. Like you can just swipe wherever you are and just keep going. And I think the other thing is it says that women can be adventurous in any way she chooses. So since it wasn't called a dating app and you don't have to say, I'm looking for a relationship, you can just be like, I want to meet someone that you might figure out that you want to have a lesbian affair or like have a threesome or have, you know, maybe you want it just friends.
Or like you don't want to meet anybody. I mean, I think for every woman who's gone on these dating apps, like I think it is the best confidence boost in the world. And it's fun and it's a game. And like you can just talk with other people. Even if you don't want to meet up with them, I think that for a lot of people, that's an option. And I dig it.
Did you ever the apps before you met the guy?
Yeah. So when Tinder first came on the scene, I tried it. And that was like very overwhelming, very, very quick. Tinder's like that's a minefield, right? Right? And then, you know, as I got older and more apps became available, I used Bumble and then I think Hinge before they went under the like the
where'd change. They go?
I think you have to pay for it now. Oh, or something. Okay. I actually have no idea.
Yeah, I did it for like a minute. A few years ago.
So Bumble, I think, was the one that I used most frequently when I was on the dating scene.
Right, but it can be, you know, it can be overwhelming. But it also says here, so it's very efficient. Mm-hmm. So, but you can also be, because if it is a numbers game, I mean, dating is a numbers game in the sense of you want to be out more, you want to be meeting people, even if you don't want to be on an app, then that's fine. But still, put yourself out there. Like, mm-hmm. put yourself out there. Few times a week, say yes to invites. I would say, like, you know those invites you get on Facebook that you might not go to. You're like, I wouldn't go to that. But then you're thinking, well, I'm single. I'm not meeting anybody. That's a numbers game as well. You go to a party, you can meet a lot of people. But when you're on these apps, you're like, I could just keep swiping and swiping. So in a way, it's efficient, but also it becomes like an addiction to novelty without substance. So you keep wanting to get these matches and you're like, well, I keep matching people and you get that serotonin rush, mm-hmm. that dopamine high. And you're like, oh, I don't really need to like settle down. So kind of,
I think it's twofold. I think that there is like the component of it that people who are using these dating apps actually are in more committed relationships than people who, you know, refuse to use dating apps, right. which is really interesting. And then I think the other component of it is something that Aziz Ansari talked about in his book, Modern Romance, which I loved.
Such a good book.
Yeah. And so he said, like, people are constantly looking for that bigger, better, right? You're constantly looking, okay, like, I'm happy with this person, but is there something better online? Right. Like, is there somebody who's taller, smarter, hotter, whatever it may be, whatever you're looking for. And so I think it's a double-edged sword there.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. I think like, and it's funny though, because I remember even before apps coming, and I feel like that was always an LA thing, but I think it's everywhere, mm-hmm. the bigger, better deal. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming here like 10 years ago for work and you're like, oh yeah, everyone's looking for the bigger, better deal in LA. I think that's, you know, maybe that's everywhere, but also with the apps, there truly is. You get home from a date, that was a good date, but there's 30 more people I can match with.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't meet the guy that I'm currently seeing on a dating app, but when I was doing the dating apps, what I started doing, which I think really helped me be more present with my dates, is that once I like swiped and I like was connecting with somebody and we were going to plan to go on a date, I stopped going on the app until like it, you know, dissipated.
That's good.
Yeah, because then you're not like talking with other people and it's distracting. Like, you want to be present with that person.
Right.
And then if that doesn't work out, then you can go back on, but you don't want to have it not work out because you're like, oh, well, maybe this will work out with this guy or this girl or whatever it may be.
Right. Because you're like, there's no like end game. You got to think about like, what do you want? And I understand also the dating, through the process of dating, you mm-hmm. do kind of learn what you like and what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah.
But then also eventually I think time to like maybe try being in a relationship. And maybe that's not happening as much because we're not really prioritizing it. We're just enjoying the date. I don't know. Like, what are your friends saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think people who just say like, oh, I just want to go on dates and just meet people, I think they're lying, frankly.
I don't want to tell my life story again.
I think everybody really wants to actually meet somebody who they connect with. Right. I think that, I mean, we can say that we want to date and we just want to have fun. But at the end of the day, like, we don't want to be in, you know, in bed alone or alone, you know, going to the grocery store or whatever it may be. We want that partnership and we want that feeling of connection. And so I think that's at the core of especially people who are so overzealously claiming that they are only in it to
just have fun.
Have fun.
Right. It's not that fun. Like, I don't want to tell you my life story. Can you just Google it? Right. Or don't listen to my podcast, but you can Google my life story.
You know what's fun is watching Netflix on my couch. Like, that's fun. Going on dating. Dating is not fun, but having somebody sit next to you and watch Netflix on my couch, that's perfect.
That's exactly what I want. It's so funny when I think about, we broke up a while ago, like a year and a half, and I just started dating again like a few months ago. It wasn't because I was like home devastated. I mean, he's awesome. It was an interesting breakup, but I mean, not like a horrible breakup, but I usually was always dating. And I was like, I'm going to take some time. And I actually did what I always advise people to do, which is after a breakup, take time to figure out what you want and prioritize and like just take some time for yourself. And I realized when I think back on our relationship, we did a lot of great things. So I'm like, I just want someone I can sit and watch TV with. And I know that's something, we did other fun things, but I love cuddling on the couch. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't, right? That's no shame to that at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I've been dating, but I do find it a little overwhelming, but I've been talking about this a lot on the show and I'm sorry, you guys, I'll be in a relationship soon and I'll talk about that. Perhaps.
Do you, girl?
I am doing me. Like, I'm not, again, I think it'd be nice to find someone, but I don't put that pressure on myself either. Yeah. So I think I was always in relationships. Mm-hmm. So now it's a really interesting time. And I just think, but I think the date, I'm just sort of obsessed with the dating apps thing because I feel like people who are single and are confused by it and they don't want to do it. It's kind of like saying, I want to lose weight and like I'm eating healthier and I'm doing all these things, but you won't exercise and you won't go to the gym. Like, I almost feel like this is this missing component of like, you should just try it. Like, go on an app. You don't have to do everything on the app, but you still go out, but why not try it?
Yeah, so, 100%.
And, people ask me about it all the time. And then also the last point of this was the sex interview. So what mm-hmm. they said was during this match, Match.com says there's singles in America survey, that a lot of young people now don't want to spend time going out with somebody unless they get to know them physically first. You can learn a lot about people between the sheets. Are they kind? Can they listen? Do they have a sense of humor? Millennials are using sex as an interview tool and even a courtship tool to jump start the relationship. Have you found that? I know that this is not
for me.
You.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I'm very old school when it comes to this. Like, I want to build up. Yeah, I want to build up the relationship. I want that emotional connection, the talking, all of that stuff before I even get close to the sexual component of the relationship.
But like, I feel like, right. Okay. And I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But these girls, like Jamie, who works with me, she says, you know, she's like 23 and she's like, oh, I'm way more comfortable just having sex with a guy than mm-hmm. even talking to him. Like, I think I'd rather get to know that first. That feels comfortable, and then I'm more comfortable talking. So I'm just wondering, like, oh, so you're like this millennial in the study.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know people who want to, like, what's the phrase? Like, try, like, do a test run with the car before they buy it.
Right.
Or, you know, try the milk before they buy the cow. I don't know. There's, like, right. some weird, there's got to be right. some weird right. analogy.
Try, I think, the milk, I'm mixing, sip the milk.
Mixing,
I get
them
it, right.
up.
Why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? And then test drive the car before you buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's people like that, and there's guys like that too. I've come across, like, when I was dating, and I move like very slow in that sphere. And I remember a guy telling me, he was like, well, don't you think that we could like connect more and like move to like the next part of relationship if we do have sex first? And I'm like, not for me.
Right. But thanks for voicing that.
But you could do that with somebody else. You're more than welcome to. I'll right. see you later.
Right, exactly. Right. You're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's true. Right. That's, yeah, like that.
But there's people who think like that.
Absolutely. And not judging, but I also think that, you know, no judgment how people get along. Mm-mm. I mean, if that works for you because you're like, I want to feel comfortable, because it is true. I think before you're making like a really serious commitment to someone, you want to have an idea like how it feels to go for a ride on that pony.
Yeah.
And that cow.
Ride that pony if that's what makes you
happy. You
want
to see if it works and like, is there chemistry and all that? Because that's like a really, you know, that's a really big thing, but take it at your own pace and don't be pressured into sex and pressured into something because you feel like you should like check that box.
And I also think like that could almost sometimes like mess up your sex life a little bit, because like if you're looking for chemistry and if you're looking for whatever you're looking for in a sexual relationship, I think some of that builds up with the emotional connection.
It does.
And like when you're talking about like what you enjoy and like things like that, and a lot of that comes with like comfort and like building a foundation that is sort of like intrinsic in having a more like, I don't want to say meaningful, but a more like well-rounded relationship.
Absolutely. No, that is absolutely true. That it does matter, because I think also for women, especially for women, that the more like safe and comfortable we feel with someone, and the more that we feel like we know them and that we can trust them, like the better sex we're going to have. And that mm-hmm. that happens over time. Like, I don't know, maybe like I've had, I don't know, one night stands. If you really stop and think about it, they're great stories. Maybe it was fun, but you know, like we're like, oh, I was drunk, I don't really remember. And it's like a great story, but was it not the best sex of your life? Typically right. from like a quickie or something, or quickie with, or a one night stand, or a quickie one night stand. Quickies have to exist in the world, but typically those aren't the best either. I think you need time to warm up. Like, I feel like the thing with the quickie sex is that it's exciting, it's fun, you can move, but you're not, I don't know, for me, I'm not gonna have an orgasm like it's in 6 minutes, but it's fun, we can check the sex off the list. I'm not saying it has to all go for 2 hours, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay, so that's what we're gonna do, sex in the news. Anything, any other final words about that? I'm trying to think. I've been, if you have anything final, but I just think that you guys, I think it's interesting what's happening right now. And I understand it's overwhelming. I do think that stigma of the hookup apps is there, but mm-hmm. I never really understood it, because if you could say no hookups, that could work, but no one's got a gun to your head. No one's going to make you hook up with them. It's like, I never found that guy. I was like, oh, I thought you came on a date with me, we have to hook up. So I just don't want people to feel that pressure and think like, I'm not going to do it because it just means that you think I'm going to hook up, because you have a choice.
Yeah. Know? I mean, you do unless have you a choice. Obviously, like with dating apps and like meeting strange people, you should, you know, be careful and like do your due diligence on whoever. I mean, I think that's important too. Like, do your due diligence, which is also available with, you know, the internet and things like that. But just like how we have so many options with like the news sites that we look at or where we buy our clothes online or whatever. Like dating is just sort of within that. And so I think we are getting, you know, more comfortable with it. I think the stigma is going away. I mean, there's so many marriages now and people who have met online.
Like 3 to 5.
It's absurd. So, you know, might as well join the party.
So true. And I've also heard that like 3 out of 5 marriages, this is going to be dark, sorry, but they end because of Facebook. Like I feel like people cheating. People find that their partner is, I was going to say, get off Facebook and get on the apps if that's what you're going to do. Don't go after someone else's wife or husband. But I've been just hearing these things about like old high school boyfriends coming back and that relationships are ending. Is that? And I've actually hearing it in real life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like with these sort of apps and like when you're looking for the bigger better or with Facebook or whatever it may be, there's always like somebody on the back burner, whether it be like an old flame or if somebody that you're sort of like looking onto to see what's next. I forget what it's called. Oh, I think it's called like a cushion. That's the new
term. That makes
sense. Yeah, it's like you have like a cushion. So if you're starting to feel like you are, you know, it's getting rocky with your significant other, people will get themselves like a cushion person to cushion the blow when they break up and they have somebody on the back burner.
God, it's like your safety score or something.
Be present in your relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. That's one way to not be present. I could see that. Just you guys, if you're in a relationship, like be in it. That's the thing. So many people have like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. If you're going to spend, like, be an efficient dater. If you're in it, like, just be in it. What's that like to be completely present with the person you've chosen to date right now? Without swiping, without checking out your ex from high school on Facebook. See how that goes. Try that out. Okay, Hannah, you're awesome. Hannah Cranston, we are going to give a shout out to our sponsors now, and then we're going to get on some emails. I get a lot of emails from my listeners. I would love your help answering the questions. And thank you, everyone, for supporting my sponsors. I love them, and thank you. I hope you do, too. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, emails. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, that's amazing. And there are so many ways now you can ask me the questions. Get this, guys. You can text me your question. Text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. That's Ask Emily, A-S-K-E-M-I-L-Y. Your normal message and data rates apply. You can also submit a question from the sexwithemily.com website just via the Ask Emily tab and do that. You can also leave me a voicemail. You guys, your voicemails haven't been that great. So if you want to leave me, no, it's true.
I'm going to start leaving you voicemails. You now. I'm going to call you at like 2 in the morning when I have like a sex question that I need answered
ASAP.
I'll
give you my personal
line. I'll call you.
You can, anytime. My friends, I do that. Like they know in here, like you're always talking to your friends, giving advice. This is not my personal email. Sorry, Hannah's going to get that. But you guys, leave me a voicemail, 818-ASK-SWE1. And at the beginning, we started this last year, and people were like, they were so great. Articulate was like a minute or two, and now they're just, what are they, like sexed? I don't know what they are. I'm not listening, but they're very long. You could even draft it out first and ask the question, but you can be succinct and ask the question and we will read that. So, and no heavy breathing because we'll just delete it. Oh, also include, I got to talk to you about one thing. I just remembered. Include your gender, your age, where you live and how you listen to the show. All those things are very important, especially your age. And you can always change your name. I'm cool with that. But we need to know age. It matters. Dick pics. I want to talk about dick pics. So I was thinking of people with heavy breathing.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't want them. We don't need them. And I get them. I was watching another one of your think tank videos on YouTube about, like, you were joking around, but you're like, I get them, but why are we getting them? Men, we like your penises, like, in person, but I'm not sitting here ever going, oh, I wish I would get a dick pic right now. Like,
never.
Doesn't happen.
Said no girl ever. Yeah. I mean, the thing is I think it's like a power thing, right? When guys send it to you, the DMs, and they're sort of like exposing themselves to you without your like consent, essentially. And you're just sort of like open a DM and you're just like, oh, shit.
Right.
And it's not, it's, we don't like it. Don't you may like have a very lovely
I'm sure you
penis
do.
And your lady or male or whomever may appreciate it. And that's fantastic. But we don't really need to see it.
Dick in the wild is showing up when you're like, oh, you know, look at this nice guy's asking me a question about his marriage. Oh, and then there's a dick pic in the next one. We don't want that. But it's funny because my friend was in town this weekend from Chicago. She's visiting me and she's married, has three kids. It was like a getaway weekend. Mm-hmm. So fun. And she, you know, I was doing my snaps and going through stuff and a dick pic came in and I deleted it. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, that was a dick. She's like, I saw that. Well, that was it. I'm like, I just deleted it. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then like another one comes. She's like, let's go look for dick pics. And so it was just amazing to her that that's like part of my job. I'm like, well, I don't have to delete all of them. My staff gets a lot of them. Sorry, guys. But also it's just, I think, so that was a very funny thing. And also I will block you if you send me dick pics. So, like, I'm not encouraging it, but I think
what's the end game? Like, sometimes I get some like, hey, like, check this out. Or like, hey, I live in this state. Like, do you think I'm going to see your like disembodied right. penis and just be like, you know what? Forget this life. I'm moving to Oklahoma. Right. We're going to have a family together and this is going to be happily ever after. Like, that's not going to happen. Right.
I'm buying a plane ticket now. I'm out the door. Bye, Mom. Yeah, it's really not going to happen. I feel like for a lot of guys, it's like they love, they're so excited. They're kind of like a cat or something who brings in like a dead mouse. And they're like, oh, and they come in. If you have a cat, they're like, oh, look at my mouse. Look at my mouse. I'm so excited that I killed it. And you're like, oh yeah, like that's great. I think men are like, is my penis great? It's so great. I love it. Do you love it?
Yeah, but I have a feeling that the guys who are sending DMs or snaps of like peanut, maybe snaps is different, but like DMs, like I am not convinced that they are sending pictures of their own penis every single time.
Good
because
point.
I've never seen like a, you know, an average length penis like set. They're always like absurd.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're like, probably like, just getting them from
that's what,
porn
that's
or
my
something.
Guess.
That's yeah. hilarious. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't investigate them that carefully, but. But you're right. They're never like,
I'm not, you know.
I get what you're saying. You can tell if it's a different kind of penis. I can't, they're sending like, they're plagiarizing. What is it called? They're plagiarizing other people's dick pics. Okay, whatever it is. Don't steal dick pics. Don't send your own dick pic. Okay, let's get into emails now that we covered that really important subject. And women, you should not send pictures of yourself either, even if they're solicited. Ever. I never have, especially with your face.
I think if you want to send a picture and it's like consensual and somebody's asking and you're down for it and you're old enough to not feel like pressure to do what you will, but I feel like don't do it unsolicited.
Don't do it unsolicited, but even, okay, so this is a whole other topic, but okay. Which I won't get into, but I think even if you're in a relationship or casually dating someone, that's like this currency, if a guy asks women like, I should send it, but I just want you to know that the second he gets it, he's going to turn to who's ever next to him and show it. Guys, they do that.
Yeah, no,
I've been that person. I'm like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah, I think that
women do it too.
Is a risk that you know, should be willing to deal with if,
right.
if
to just be cool happens. With that. Just know that if you send it and it's empowering and you love your body and that's, you could send it, but just know that it's not private.
Right.
So, yeah. Haven't heard about that. Okay. Which you know, we all know what happened with the, what was it? The iCloud and all that stuff. So
yeah,
be careful.
The fappening.
Fappening. Thank you. Hi, Emily. I'm not crazy about sleepovers, and I definitely don't like it when a man cuddles up to me while I'm trying to sleep. When a guy does sleep over and I explain how I don't enjoy cuddling, they think I'm kidding and do it anyways. How can I get it across that I don't want to be touched when I sleep? Better yet, how can I get the guy I'm dating, not seriously, to leave when we are already laying in bed together and it's the middle of the night? I don't want it to come off as I'm just in it for the sex. I just don't do sleepovers. Julia, 22, Florida.
So I'm not a big sleepover fan either.
Really?
Yeah. So I totally get this. And I think it's really honestly about having that sort of like open communication. Like with a guy I'm seeing, like we talk openly about like, I just don't sleep as well when there's somebody else in my bed. There's nothing wrong with that. That's nothing against him. That's nothing about me. It's just like, I like you, but I also really like sleep.
Well, that's the thing. I think... Do you guys not do sleepovers or just on the weekends?
Every once in a while. Yeah, just on the weekends, not on school nights.
Right. No, of course you got to bring all your stuff over. And like, I forgot my shoes. You got to run back and forth. But I feel like sleep issues has become a whole thing because I don't feel like sleep issues have, they've gotten so much worse that people just really are so tight, like need their beds, need their, I never heard questions like this before. And I think like we're not sleeping. I think we're drinking too much coffee. We have too much anxiety, too much stress.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. And I think with like the cuddling thing, because I used to hate cuddling. It was so not my thing. I felt like it was like stifling. I felt like it was holding me down. But I've found that with the right person that you start to like it. Yeah. So like with the guy, like I never really liked cuddling. I didn't like being held. I didn't really like any sort of like a lot of physical affection. But then with him, like we are so like absurdly like physically affectionate with each other and like cuddly. And it was okay. And it was like natural for both of us. And I like it now. So I think it's like a person thing.
It could be a chemistry thing, a comfort thing. Maybe like feel safe with him and you feel, cause it's an intimacy thing. So Julia, so when you're cuddling, that is a very intimate act. I mean, you're having sex with them, but also cuddling is like, you feel a connection to them and you feel safe and you want to be with them. It sounds like you said this guy's not very serious and you want him to leave. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And also not wanting to cuddle or do sleepovers is if that's where you're at right now. But I just think you got to be honest and just say to him, listen, this is so fun. I love having sex with you. I really need, like, it's just hard for me to sleep with other people in the bed. This has been fun. I like you. I don't want you to like think about it any other way. I just like really need my sleep. I got to get up early and, you know, I'm super psyched to hang out with you and have a good time. Have them go. I mean, let them know ahead of time. So, you know, they're not like taken aback and you're not like kicking them out. You can like let them know this is amazing or tell them no at dinner. Like I got an early day tomorrow. That's what it says.
I think you should be upfront, like especially as a woman, we're so concerned that our needs are so like absurd or so, you know, excessive and we're going to be called needy. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having your needs and communicating them. I think that's actually really important and being okay and not thinking that you're needy and saying these are totally acceptable. I just am aware of what I need from a relationship. And if you can't fit that, then I'll see you later.
I think that's a great point. I mean, Julia, you're 22. I think it's, I love that. I think that's great practice for you as well because Hannah, I love that point. I think that we're so not comfortable communicating and we put them on the back burner. We think like we want to be liked, we're going to be judged because we are often told that we're like excessive and we're extreme. And so I think that when it comes to relationships and sex, which is mostly we talk about in the show, is we give people permission to ask for what they want and to be okay with it, to feel comfortable, that it's practice because we're not taught how to do this. So Julia, the sooner that you just start saying, hey, listen, like I want you to do this like with the guy that you're sleeping with tonight, Julia. I'll just be like, hey, so, or this weekend. So this was fun. I want you to know that you just, and don't explain it. Just be like, I have a hard time sleeping with other people in the bed. This is really fun, but you're going to have to leave in the morning. Done. Stop talking. State it. And it's going to get more comfortable, not only in your relationships, but in everything else you do. And no apologies. Remember we talked about that when I saw you?
No apologies.
Don't say I'm sorry. So it's funny. So I'm remembering when I saw you on the show, on your show, I tried, I say that around here too. I was like, you guys, just women just automatically say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I really try not to, although I still do it, but at least I'm more conscious that I do it. And I think that men are going around, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Because we're always apologizing because we think we're too much, taking too much space. I just think it's a good practice for women to just, and I know that I've probably done it 6 times today, perhaps, but I'm working on it. And there was one more thing you told me not to.
Yeah,
I remember this.
Don't say just.
Just.
Yeah. I just think, I just wanted, da 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 da. Don't. That's sort of like, I guess, I don't know what the right word, but it essentially is saying that you don't think that what you have to say is worthy of asserting it in a more powerful way.
Exactly. And it's like already like taking a few notches down. Like, I'm just asking because I wanted to see if it's okay. No. No just, no sorries. I could end the show now because those are two really good examples, but I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not going to end it, but think about that. And for guys too, if you're saying I'm sorry. Hey, Emily, I recently dove deep into online dating and I'm having a blast. In the past, I've been pretty reserved about my sexual partners, but now I'm ready to try some new things and not be such a prude. I recently met a guy and hooked up with him after 3 hours of meeting and 2 glasses of wine. Before I knew it, he was going down on me, which was great. But when it came to my turn to go down on him, I got nervous. I'm super paranoid about STDs. So when it comes to doing the deed, I always use a condom, but it feels awkward to use one during a blowjob. So my questions are, is there any way to bring up STDs to a guy you just met without completely killing the mood? Are condoms necessary in general? What am I risking not using one for a blowjob? If I go down on a guy without a condom, have I already exposed myself to whatever he might be carrying to negate condom use for sex? Natalie, 29, Hawaii. Okay, Natalie, you do got to bring this up because talking about safe sex, I think, is so important. And again, something that you got to practice. It's not easy. None of us want to talk about it. I get it. We're in the mood and it can be a buzzkill. So I think that you got to bring it up when you, not on the first date, but when you know things are going to get like, you know, could happen that night. You're going to, oh, this was hot one date. Heavy. Always have one. Going to get hot and yeah. Heavy. Heavy petting. So my mom always says, heavy petting. Would you guys heavy petting in the backseat? So I think that be prepared. I guess bring your own condoms, which is great. I love skin condoms. They're amazing. And
yeah, I mean, here's what I think. So like whenever you want to have sex, I am all for it, right? Like as long as it's consensual and you feel like in a great mood, like do your thing, girl. But you're also like about to let a person inside of your body or put their body part inside of your mouth. So if you are not comfortable enough to talk about whether they have a sexually transmitted disease, I don't think you should be comfortable enough to let their body part inside of you wherever you put it.
Right. Absolutely. That's a great.
That's my thing. Great.
How have you done in the past? When do you bring it up?
I bring it up before we have sex. I have never had a sexual relation with a man without asking about his STI history and sexual history before.
And then does he, if he's like, no, I'm clean, do you trust him and then go without a condom?
No.
Have you always used condoms? Pretty much.
Yeah, I've pretty much always used condoms. That's good. Yeah.
I mean, no, I think they respect, maybe guys are hoping you're not going to ask, but you have to if they don't ask, it's not because, it's probably because guys are like, oh, it feels better without, it doesn't matter. Like, how does it feel with an STD? So you can't tell by looking and you can do your best and ask about the history and what you could get is, here's the other thing, you guys, I don't want to bring it down, but you can get STDs from a blowjob. Mm-hmm. You can. And from oral sex. You can get like HPV, chlamydia, gonorrhea. So you want to protect yourself. I get that dental dams and condoms during blowjobs don't sound fun. I don't think that a lot of people do that, but you could. You could wrap a dental dam around it or a condom. But I get that you know, I don't know anyone who really does that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that is, I hope if you are really that concerned about it, then you absolutely should. But definitely, definitely during intercourse. And know if you give them a blowjob without a condom, it doesn't mean that you should, oh, I'm safe now. Because whatever you're going to get from the blowjob, you're not going to get from intercourse. It's not true. So you can still, like, there's semen, there's more of it inside of you. There's more things that can happen than just contracting it through your mouth. So just use condoms. Just bring them with you and ask it. I'm telling you, the guy's there. He's with you. He wants to have sex with you. And if he's, guess what? If he's turned off by the fact that you brought it up, his history and using condoms, he's not the guy for you.
Right. And also, like, if you think about it, like a guy, if he has the choice whether to like have sex or get head with a condom versus not at all, I think they're probably going to choose the former.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Guys love the head. They love the head. I'm just whispering. Okay. Great. So thank you, Natalie. Okay. Dear Emily, my wife and I have been married for over 15 years. We didn't talk about sex, as in not even saying the word sex. That is, until I was ready to leave the relationship. I guess we both figured we had nothing to lose at that point. Once we actually talked about it, I discovered that my wife felt like I bullied her into having sex every time we did it for about 10 years. Needless to say, she doesn't enjoy it. However, we both want to stay in the relationship. I'm a little mad at her for not speaking up, although in her defense, I probably wouldn't have listened. But I'm also furious with myself for being so selfish and for not picking up on the signs, which seem so obvious in hindsight. I want her to have a good, healthy view of sex again and of our relationship in general. How do I even begin? Thanks, Jay, 38, Texas.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think women have this like really messed up view of sex because we're told for so long that we're like not supposed to enjoy it. And if we do, we're a slut and all these like silly things. And so that when you get in a relationship and you get married or whatever, then all of a sudden you're supposed to be obsessed with it. And so it's like you get so many mixed messages before and then you're supposed to turn around and have a completely different viewpoint. So you're obviously going to have like some complexes about sex. And I think it's really important to have sort of that open communication and be like, you know, listening to Sex with Emily.
Listen
so that
it.
You can, yeah, so that you can like learn how to have those conversations and figure out what works for her and how you can feel like you're having sex and everybody's like super excited about it.
I know,
it.
Exactly. That is interesting about how we're brought up that we have to always like it and then we don't. And we're so confused about sex. I mean, my thing is that we just here's the thing, Jay, is that we are not taught to prioritize sex in relationships, which is something that I talk a lot about in the show, is that we talk about everything else with our partners. We talk about buying a house together and should we raise children and what religion should we raise them and what color couch should we get? But sex is something that he did not utter for 15 years in his relationship because we don't know how. Just like we don't know how to talk about STDs. And so I'm just saying, like, you got to start talking about it early on, right away. It's never ever too soon to talk about it. But what I love about this email, Jay, is I just want to thank you because a lot of people can probably really, they'll really benefit from your story because I think they can relate to sex kind of going, you know, falling by the wayside after 15 years. But what I love about you, Jay, is that he was able to see his part in it. And I saw your internal struggle here because you're like, I'm mad at her for not telling me, but yet I feel like, you know, I feel bad that I bullied her. And I probably wouldn't have listened anyway. So that was like a very mature statement, Jay. So like, I love that. And I understand that you feel selfish and how you let it happen, but you're so not alone because it's very rare and very remarkable that you've come to this place. So now it's all about repair because there's been a lot of stuff that, you know, I want to say there's been some damage that's been done and it's hard just to pick up and say, okay, we talked about sex, you know, let's start having sex again. I just love that you guys are talking about it. And the reason why a lot of couples stop having sex is because, well, for a million reasons, they don't talk about it, but also resentments build up. So it sounds like she, you know, it could be something from years ago. It could be not even just one thing, but maybe she felt bullied and then she told you and then you like did it again. And then she's like, I'm just going to avoid it because you're saying, let's have sex tonight. Why are you on your phone the whole time? You don't want to have sex with me. I mean, I don't know how you bullied her. I'm sure it was like a verbal bullying and it made her feel bad about herself. And so there's other issues at play. When people stop having sex, typically it's because it's a symptom of something else. So it's not just like the sex was horrible. It's like maybe you guys have kids and she was, you know, stressed out and who knows what. But I just want you to know you guys aren't going to be able to snap your fingers and you're going to start having this mad, passionate sex again. I'm telling you how it is. But I think it's important for you guys to go back and remember the connections that you had at the beginning because we all love that honeymoon phase, like that early part when things were so amazing. And it's really hard to get, you're never going to get back to those first 6 months to 2 years, because that's kind of biology speaking. But you can get back to getting to know each other again. Like I would say to you, Jay, take sex off the table for like a month. The two of you, I know that seems like crazy, but you've been having, you know, not a lot of sex the last 15 years anyway. And you can start to kind of get to know each other again. Like if you take sex off, and I think this works for a lot of couples when sex becomes a problem, but especially for you guys, start kissing, start the foreplay, start like doing massages and exploring like what other erogenous zones are, like your kids, like you're just sort of not kids, but you're newlyweds or you're just starting to explore again because you can kind of channel that excitement again. Like you know that I'm telling you, you can't have sex. So it's like the forbidden. So now you got to focus on her breasts and you got to focus on different erogenous zones. Maybe you didn't know that her left nipple was more sensitive than her right nipple. So just slow down, take the pressure of sex off, go back to kissing. Like kissing is the first thing.
Dating, like take her on a like romantic date night and try to connect and communicate and start the communication that's like not around sex first. And then that'll slowly lead to something that's more physical. But like she needs to feel connected to you emotionally first, exactly. I think, before physically, and then feel like she can open up about talking about what works for her and what doesn't work for her.
Right. No, I think all these things matter. Dating, getting out of the house, taking vacations. Vacation sex is great. Like taking time away. Yeah. Maybe go on dates, special dates once a week and don't have sex. Like that, start to bring that. Now, if you guys can't get past this stuff, Jay, like, because 15 years is a long time for these resentments to build, you might need some therapy. Nothing wrong with that. I think every couple in a long-term relationship need a little therapy. You need someone else to come in and say, hey, you guys have been having the same fight for 10 years. Here's another way to think about it. Boop. And they do that. So again, no stigma with therapy. So great advice there. Hannah, thank you, Jay. Let me know how it goes. And Jay, I'm glad you guys made it to this point. So it's just going to get better from here. I promise. Okay, we have a virgin question. Dear Emily, I'm a 25-year-old virgin. I've been a very sexual person. I enjoy watching porn and I masturbate regularly, but I have delayed having intercourse until I was with a person who I was comfortable enough with. I'm crazy in love with my boyfriend, and I know this is the person who I want to have sex with for the first time. He knows my personal story and is very understanding and accommodating. While I know my body well in terms of sexual gratification from my solo experience, I really don't know what to expect from a partner. What advice can you give me? Love the podcast. Faithful listener, Lily, age 25, Miami. Lily, I love you. I really was reading this. I'm like, I want to hug Lily. You're amazing. Because I'm sure you're a loyal listener because you took the time to get to know your own body. And this is what I always tell women and men. You guys think you know your body. You probably don't as well as you could. But for women especially, we think someday my prince will come and so will I. I'll be with this guy. The orgasms are going to flow. And it doesn't always work that way. So I want to help reframe your question because she's asking, what can I expect from it? And I don't think it's about what to expect from a partner. I think it's more about what do you both want, which is something for you both to discuss. Because when you have these expectations of having sex for the first time and you think it's going to be like unicorns and flowers and amazing, like not the first time.
I don't know anybody
experience.
Who's had that experience right? for their first time. No.
Do you remember, like, do you...
I mean, I think it's, especially if you're like younger or whatever it may be, you know, it's awkward.
It's not going to be right.
But so, it's awesome that she's already comfortable with her body. I think that's something that's a huge issue is like when you're not comfortable enough with your own body and then you're like next to somebody else who's naked and they're not comfortable with their body. It's just like,
oh my God,
it's a disaster.
It's a disaster. It's like, where do these parts go? I totally get it. And so I think like use a condom. Go slow. Go really slow. Like do all that. You said you've been very sexual. Do all that stuff. Like I don't just jump right into the sex. Talk about it about ahead of time about what you guys both want. But it sounds like, you know, he's your boyfriend and you're with him. I mean, I think that you're in a good place because acting what to expect. Again, expectations are what really hurt us a lot. We have these expectations that we think it's going to be amazing or all these things. The fireworks are going to go off. Like I'm going to tell you right now, that's probably not going to happen. So really just reframe. Like, what do you guys both want from it? Make sure you use protection.
You have so much. I think you have so much control over that, right? Like, if you are comfortable with your body, like, and you have these quote unquote expectations, like, show your man what you like or tell him what you like. And then you can sort of, like, have a pretty big role in what the outcome.
Exactly.
No pun intended.
Exactly. The outcome. Who's coming? I mean, I love this because I always talk about mutual masturbation. Is it great? You can just show him, be like, babe, because he probably doesn't know. I mean, even if he's had sex before, I'm telling you, guys of all ages have no idea. And every woman's body is different. We're like snowflakes. So if you put 100 women in a room and they're all masturbating, they would all be doing something different. Their fingers would be moving in different directions. They might be using inside, outside, lube, no lube, toys, who knows? But it's all different. So there's no way he could know your body for all of us. But for Lily, so I would say show him. You're in the moment, you're like, oh, I remember this feels good for masturbation. Like, move that way, put his hands where they need to be. It'll be great. It's going to be a good time. Okay, we've got another question here about porn. Hi, Emily. I love your show, and I'm actually listening to you now. I'm happily married. We have amazing sex and always have, and lots of lube on the nightstand. Backstory. I've been masturbating since I was a little girl. I love it, and I've always been super in touch with my body and pleasuring myself. Even married, I make plenty of time for self-love. I love porn and watch fairly regularly with and without my partner. During this past year, I've been watching a more dominating genre of porn than I ever imagined I'd be attracted to. I've always enjoyed girl-on-girl, but now all I want to watch is aggressive domination of women. My orgasms are so much stronger and I get super wet when I watch this more taboo porn. As soon as I have an orgasm, I immediately want to close my laptop because I feel terrible about what I'm watching. I would never want a man to do these things to me in real life, but I can't help but being turned on by this. Is this normal? Why do I love it so much? Thanks for touching on such unique questions and allowing for a safe space to ask them. Communication is a lubrication.
Aww.
Warm wishes, Ashley. Ashley, this is a really great question. I think I talk a lot about fantasies and porn and all this stuff. And there's a lot of fantasies that we have or things we watch in porn that we don't actually want to happen in real life.
Yeah, I think that's like the biggest thing for people to remember is that your fantasies don't necessarily mean that that's what you want to live out in life. So from that article, I mean, from that question, it sounds like she's in a heterosexual relationship, right? So girl on girl. I don't know if you necessarily want to live that out in life, but that's not as stigmatized or you don't feel as like dirty as, you know, watching something that's more like dominating. So I think you can just like approach it in the same way. It's just because you don't want to, something turns you on doesn't mean you necessarily want to live it out or you should feel like dirty about it. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of porn, you know,
what kind of porn do you watch? You said we could talk about this.
So Well, on Think Tank, we cover a lot of different kinds of porn and what different people are into, yeah. right? So like incest porn is really popular. There's clown porn. There's giantess porn. Like, I think people who are watching this don't necessarily want to have relations with their mother, no. right? But there's some like something about it, some like Freudian thing or whatever it may be that turns them on. They don't necessarily want to have sex with a giant. Like, that's not even a realistic right. sexual outcome. But the thing is that these, you know, you can't really, you know, decide what turns you on. Right. And so that's okay to be turned on by what you are, and accept yourself. Don't judge yourself. Just
right. Don't. That's the thing. It's this shame and this guilt, yeah. which I always hear from a lot of men actually, like, oh, I masturbate and then I feel awful after and I like shut the laptop. So that's funny to hear, not funny, but interesting. I mean, to hear this, Ashley, because I just want you to know there's a lot of shame that we all like hold around sex that we're, you know, could come from religion, from childhood. We just feel bad about it. We feel like we respect our partners and are we cheating on them with porn? But I think that actually fantasy, having a healthy fantasy life is a cornerstone of having really great sex life. It's really important to be able to like think sexy thoughts and get yourself in the mood for sex. And I love that you're masturbating. So I feel like, you know, this is kind of an extension of the whole like domination thing, like 50 Shades of Grey, for example. Women loved it. Why? It's not because they wanted to date Christian Grey per se. They didn't want to be in a dungeon and be hurt, but they liked the idea of being taken by a man like lusts after you so badly. He has to do everything just to have you. It's kind of like we want to just be taken. We want to be worshipped and adored and all that. So it's not, this is very common for women to be into this kind of porn, Ashley. So there's really nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean that, you know, necessarily that you, like I said, that you want it. And also, if this is something that you're interested in, some kind of like domination, but not necessarily what you're seeing, you can easily like use handcuffs, try a blindfold, you know, watch it with your partner and be like, that was cool. And there's might be some of this that I want to take away. Like maybe there's part of it that you do want, but if you don't, that doesn't matter either. I just think it's actually that great that you found some things that really turn you on and that are intensifying your sex life and will also bode well for your regular sex, for your sex life beyond masturbation. It's healthy to have things to pull up. There's a lot of women who are like, I don't know what turns me on. So I think you're in a good case scenario, Ashley, and totally normal. That's why you love it. You're fine. Keep on going, Ashley. It's awesome. That's what we got time for, Hannah. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. This was so fun.
I know. It's really fun. Really fun having you here. You're amazing. You're doing great work. Everybody has to check you out all over. Hannah Cranston.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Yeah. YouTube.
Come say hi on Instagram or Twitter at Hannah Cranston, yep. and then on Facebook there, at yep. Hannah Cranston Host.
Exactly. So I'll be on the site. Check out. We're going to do a little video right now. Check this all out. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. I love you all. It's been so great. You guys, thanks to all of our new listeners. We've had so many great new listeners. Hearing from you has been amazing. And thank you to my amazing team. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.